It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style. Here's John Lopez and Reginald Adetula.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Football, preseason football continues. It happened yesterday as well, a couple of games, and one of those involved a division rival of the Texans, the Indianapolis Colts. And so we got another chance to see, for the second time, I believe, in this preseason, Anthony Richardson go. And that's going to matter a lot. The Colts quarterback played just over a quarter, if I remember correctly. He hasn't seen a lot of high-level football just generally. And so he had a kind of an up-and-down game, a little bit of an uneven game after a hot start in a 27-14 victory over the Bengals. Within that, like, I think he had a really good first drive.
Yeah, was he 6 out of 7 or something?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. But he also had, like, a pick six and some other, you know, kind of dicey plays.
I think he went, like, 1 for 8 or something.
It felt like you got the entirety of the Anthony Richardson experience in one fell swoop in a very quick preseason game feeling. So, he looks like he is getting ready, and that's the first opponent for your Texans. I don't know. Did you watch the game at all? Did you get eyes on it a little bit?
Most of the highlights. I was flipping around a lot. One of those flip arounds I'm going to get to during confessions, which is wild. But
ultimately, he was 8 for 14, 86 yards, a touchdown, and an interception.
Yeah, he might have been 5 for 6 in that early drive, but they scored a touchdown and all that. So I was watching here and there, and then I saw the highlights. And the Anthony Richardson experience, you put it perfectly. That's what you get. That's what you get. It's not exactly discouraging if you're a Texans fan. Like you guys know, I've never really been super high on Anthony Richardson, but boy, you know, he was making me eat my words for 4 games last year. Certainly one against the Texans, but nah, man, I think that's what he's going to be. I'm like you. I have a ton of confidence in Shane Steichen. I love that dude.
Yeah, he's real good.
I shouldn't, you know, obviously he's a Colts coach, but he's really, really good. If he can't fix Anthony Richardson and get him more consistent, can anyone?
Yeah, that is a quarterback's play caller. Like he does a great job putting a quarterback in good position. Kirk Herbstreit has questions as to which quarterback he'll be putting in position, though.
What if he struggles? What if he has a good drive or a good game and then a bad game, a good game and a bad game? He's a pick. Everybody's kind of expecting him to be the guy. You got a guy like Joe Flacco with the roster they have. I just wonder how you handle that if it goes down that path, if you're Shane Steichen, because you know what you're going to get in Joe Flacco. Again, we're all hoping to see him have a monster year and lead this team to great things, but that's the big thought. I think even if you're a Colts fan, you're hoping to see Anthony Richardson be this guy that can run this offense that Jalen Hurts ran 2 years ago in Philly, and he's running zone read and he's making plays. But if it's inconsistent, how long do you go until you start to maybe have that kind of discussion?
I like the football noise in the background too.
He was on the broadcast.
Yeah, I know.
The Amazon Prime.
Dude, there's
night.
A lot there in there.
Yeah, and I immediately was like, oh yeah, definitely. If you forgot, Kirk Herbstreit is like moonlighting, or he's like doing both, where he's in the NFL, but he's still a college football guy, and he definitely watched Anthony Richardson in Florida. There you go, because I very much heard a dude who had like PTSD from watching that man in Florida, knowing this dude is super up and down. I think it's a funny question to ask, though. Like, what happens if he plays poorly? You keep playing him, right? Like, that is why he... Well, I've frequently referred to Anthony Richardson as the type of dude that gets somebody fired.
Yeah.
Like, that is the kind of player he is. He just has so much upside, the big arm, the athleticism, all of those things. Even, like, he also seems to be, like, a dude with his head on the shoulder straight.
Yeah.
Like, he seems to have that pretty well. And so, all of those things. And so, as a decision maker, you got to be like, we got to give it a shot. But he is so wildly inconsistent, and that you knew what you were getting coming in. So the idea of if he's inconsistent, well, yeah, you knew that coming in. I imagine that you go with it. I would, you know what? I imagine there'd be a lot of people around these parts.
I really don't.
You don't?
Dude, we're in the third week of August, and they're talking about starting Joe Flacco.
Well, like, Herb Street's talking about starting Joe Flacco.
I know, and that's a national broadcast. On a national broadcast, after the dude looked so good early and then erratic, that, and the other, who was the who else was on the broadcast there with Herb Street?
Al Michaels.
No, but it wasn't Al talk. Maybe it wasn't. I didn't hear it. But he said, we all believe, look, he goes, look, we all believe he's going to be great. No, we don't. who's in, you got a frog in your pocket?
That's the fiery part. Like, that is the fiery part.
He goes, look, we all believe he's going to be great. No, we don't.
Yeah, to me, Kurt bringing it up to me show you he don't really trust dude like that because he wouldn't have brung it up.
Right. And I mean, look, we saw what, four games last year where you saw like generally the upside. But again, it's the consistency with him that ends up being the issue. So it'll be interesting to see. And look, it's kind of, you saw the inconsistency in this game. I imagine that you saw, I mean, well, you also saw an pick six.
Yeah. That was very Daniel Jones-like, by the way.
There you go.
Very Daniel.
You're connecting
Jones-like.
Dots here. Yeah. I think that this is an opportunity for this Texans defense. We're talking about how they could become elite. Yeah. That could be a nice jump start on it in week one of the season. You got a dude who's inconsistent that might throw it up for you.
Yeah.
You got to go and grab those and maybe have an opportunity to start and establish your season on a high note once you get them September 8th, correct?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be ongoing. Unless he comes out gangbusters, it's going to be ongoing with him. No doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt.
Elsewhere on that broadcast, you made note of this because Al Michaels, he is the broadcaster for Prime Video's Thursday Night Football. He's play-by-play. And one of the things about Al Michaels when he's been doing this Thursday Night Football is, you know, sometimes he doesn't sound like he has the same vigor as you would imagine.
He's not plugged
that
he'd in.
Want, right? And he might be in mid-season form in that way.
Clean pocket, but it's picked off. Jordan Battle. Right there. Touchdown.
I love Al Michaels.
He sounded a little hype right there.
He did sound hype.
But the guy was already walking back to the bench when he said touchdown. Like he was like, oh. I think Al Michaels and Brent Musburger were at the very, very, very top of their games for a long, long time. So it's not like disrespecting their careers, but he gets bored pretty easily now. He gets bored pretty easily. But I'll give him grace on this.
Okay.
Preseason game. I'll give him a little grace since it was a preseason game. Let's see how it plays out in the race.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Regular season.
Okay. Yeah. And you know what? I do wonder if this is even a thing where once you have a narrative on it that, like, we know Al Michael ends up sounding a little bit detached from the game at times or what have you, that now we're, like, looking for it.
Could be.
In some ways.
Maybe
it could
be
that. But yeah. Look, getting back to that feeling, right? That feeling of regular season football, and we're close, and Al Michaels is there as well. Hopefully he has fun with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that Thursday night football is frequently some games that are
some of the worst games.
Yeah, not great. In part just because of the scheduling, mate. Man, you're playing oftentimes at least one of these teams on a 4-day week. Like that's
tough. But it isn't exactly headliners all the time either.
That is also true.
Yeah.
Some other news from around the NFL. Dennis Allen, head coach of the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And look, the Saints fans that listen are probably sick of me by the time the season is over, the way that I talk about the Saints and Dennis Allen in particular. But apparently, with the versatile weapon that they have in Taysom Hill, Dennis Allen said that he is considered deploying Taysom Hill on defense.
Come on, man.
He said he'd play him as linebacker.
Sure. Why not?
Sure, why not? You're doing everything else.
Because it's defense. That's why not. Like, he's just a man without a country, man.
What does Taysom Hill have on these people?
I don't know. That's a great point. Yeah. Like, super athlete. Unbelievable college player.
Absolutely.
Had his moments.
I remember that one time he got Manny Diaz fired at Texas.
He sure did.
Yeah.
But is he a quarterback? Not really. Is he a receiver? Maybe sometimes. Is he a running
tight
back?
End,
no.
Kind of.
Tight
maybe.
End. Fullback.
I know. If he's not any of that, let's put him at linebacker. What could possibly go wrong?
He's actually a Swiss Army knife and like... I kind of hate the way that people use the phrase a Swiss Army knife because mm-hmm. they use it to mean he can do a lot of things. But one of the things that we forget about the Swiss Army knife is, yes, it does have the little scissors and it has the knife and it has the file and it has. But none of those things are actually good.
No.
Right. All of those things are just like poor facsimiles of the real thing that you want. Right. If you want to get scissors, you would go get scissors before you would take out your Swiss Army
Absolutely.
Knife and try and cut something.
That's a good point.
It's not a good way of doing it. Taysom Hill is that. Right. He does a whole bunch of things. Is he great at them? Not really.
He's like the legitimately the definition of that. You know, my thing with Swiss Army knives, you got me thinking about it. I don't know why. Like, all these people have these, like, because they come in different versions. Like, some of them have, like, 17 different things on the Swiss Army knife. Some have 5. And I'm always thinking the same thing. All you ever do is use the little knife. You got all this stuff that you never use.
Or you use it to open a beer or something.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. That's my hot Swiss Army knife take right there. But yeah, he couldn't possibly excel on defense.
Also, one thing to remember, Taysom Hill, 33 years of age.
That too.
That's fun.
Good time to learn a new position.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, look, always be learning, right? Like you always want to grow and develop as a human being. So you know what?
Yeah.
I would like to see Taysom Hill play Sam Linebacker.
He probably in that locker room. I'm just here to serve. Whatever you want me to do, just here to serve.
You know, like he is Mormon, like mission trips and those mm-hmm. types of things are a part of the ethos of the religion. So maybe that's the way that he views it for sure.
Yeah.
Kansas City Chiefs doling out some money as well as mm-hmm. heading up to the season. Teams are making sure that their guys are taking care of the Chiefs or the next iteration of that as Creed Humphrey, widely regarded as one of the better centers in this league. He becomes the highest paid center in NFL history by agreeing to a 4-year contract extension. Worth $72 million, $50 million on the guarantees.
Yep.
So, look, congratulations to him. He's earned it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to think about the fact that they're able to do things like this in part because they got their quarterback on such an advantageous deal.
Yeah.
I imagine there's got to be people that are just mother bleeping Patrick Mahomes all the damn time for taking that particular contract, including the PA.
That's how you do it, though.
PA.
That's how you become the Chiefs. I say this ad nauseum a lot of times when people start complaining about the cap this and the cap that. You've heard me say it before. There are people in that building, in every building in the NFL, whose entire job, whose only job, is to figure out the cap, make it work. I often believe that the whole salary cap hell that people talk about is vastly overstated. And the Kansas City Chiefs are the perfect example of that. They just paid, on top of everything else, Reggie, they paid a center $50 million in guarantees. And they're the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. So anytime
they paid somebody... Chris Jones.
Yeah, and Chris Jones.
A lot of
go
people.
Down the list.
Yeah.
And that's why I always say, whenever someone says, oh, they're going to be in cap hell, I'm like, okay, figure it out. The Chiefs have figured it out. The Patriots have figured it out in the past. Hell, even the Texans have figured it out back in the day. Remember Andre taking those new contracts and all this other stuff and Schaub taking redoing his contract? I am not a big fan of, well, they're in cap hell. They can't do anything. To me, that's an excuse. To me, the Buffalo Bills are using excuses.
If you can be creative enough.
Yes.
I mean, and look, you're going to have to take your lumps at times. And with the Kansas City Chiefs example that you just brought up, we can't forget that
they've cut bait.
Yeah, they sent one of the better, in fact, a lot of people regard him as top 3, top 5 at the mm-hmm. very least, and you know, for argument's sake, wide receivers away in order to facilitate continuing.
But they didn't fall off the planet.
They sure did.
And see, that's why they decided to do that. They probably felt like we could still win the Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill. They felt like they couldn't, they would have found the way.
And they did. It was wildly up and down wide receiver play that they got, but they managed to do that as well. And shout out to the text line, to the 713, who combating a little bit of my Swiss Army knife take. They said they have four blades on their Swiss Army knife, and they use them all of the time. They're good tools that they can carry in their pocket. End of sentence. All right, shout out to you.
Shout out to you for being, color me skeptical. How much do you use those little tiny scissors? What do you cut with those scissors? Like, you know, or the little Phillips head screwdriver.
Cutting down on my patience is what you're cutting.
The little Phillips, it almost bends when you try to use it. Look, if you figured out the way to do it, power to you. But I'm a little skeptical.
Real quick, before we go, when it comes to around the NFL, the Eagles and the Commanders in division linked up on a trade. Commanders sent their 2022 first round pick, Jahan Dotson.
Yeah.
As well as a fifth round pick next season to the Eagles, and they got back a third round pick and 2 7th round picks from this upcoming draft next season as well. I found that to be interesting because Jahan Dotson is one of those names that I absolutely bring up when I talk about the fact that the Commanders have a nice little wide receiving core, but the Eagles go and add him to their, you know, already nice two-headed monster wide receiver-wise of A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Like, what caught your attention about this trade?
I had a question, and I got a question for you and Figgy. Would you rather have Jahan Dotson, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith, or Tank Dell, Nico Collins, and Stephon Diggs? Be objective as possible.
The profile of players that the Eagles have, when you talk about A.J. Brown and like the strength and all those things, Devontae Smith, Jahan Dotson is a nice addition. I think I might still lean towards where the Texans are. But I might, because it feels like you just have three dudes that are really versatile that can do all sorts of different things, and that versatility ends up being useful. Mm-hmm. And that might be a matter of preference because they're both good, the trios.
Yeah, I'm going to lean towards the Texans too. And I took my Texans goggles off.
Yeah.
I just think, honestly, I think if the Eagles had those three weapons in Philly, I think they'd be talking about Super Bowl, man. I think they'd be more, you know, on the screens talking about these receivers rather than the ones they got now.
I'm totally with you both. And I think where this takes us is Texans might have the best receiving core in the entire NFL. The entire NFL.
ESPN does.
Because they've been talking about these three dudes. Mm-hmm. Oh, does that make them the best? Does that make them the best? A lot of people are like, nah, man. Look what they got down in Houston.
Right.
And I'm with you.
Yeah, because when you look at Nico Collins, he had a great year last year.
Yes.
And he got paid. You bring in Stephon Diggs. Everybody know what he can do. Mm-hmm. And then Tank Dell was having a great season last year until he got hurt.
Absolutely.
And people talking about that's the third receiver.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So the Texans have, we're in agreement, they have the best receiving core.
All of these guys could be number ones wherever they go.
Yeah.
I agree that this is the best wide receiving duo, or trio rather, when it comes to starters. And like I was mentioning, ESPN does a exercise every year going into season and ranks all the position groups. Wide receiver, Houston Texans come in at number one. So, I mean, this is not something that's wildly out there. There's other folks that agree with that as well. So, there you go.
I'm with you.
Shout out to the Texans wide receiving core. And I guess best of luck to the Eagles in that regard. they've got bigger fish to fry, though. It's not the talent that they had issues with last year. It was play calling and those types of things. And we'll see if they got those things figured out.
Yeah.
You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Adatula. Coming up next, Nick Caserio was on Pat McAfee yesterday. Was interested in a few things that he said. We'll discuss those next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Adatula.
I see you, Fig. Friday vibes. They're immaculate here. Sports Radio 610 In the Loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig on the ones and twos, making it sound good, and myself, Reginald Adatula, having a good old time on a football Friday. In fact, college football Friday as well.
How about that?
Week zero is this weekend, and we're looking at the TV, and them fine fellas on the Pat McAfee show are talking to Nick Saban himself, who I had to remember. I was like, Alabama's not playing out there. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. That has nothing to do with Alabama. He's doing TV work.
Yeah.
But they're getting themselves ready for you know, the football game out there in Dublin.
That's a good place to get ready.
Yeah, they're
they look like they're in the hood too.
Little pub in Dublin.
Yeah.
Some stout beers out there getting ready for Florida
State.
Ain't
nothing sexy right there.
Yeah. Man, they
like they in the hood.
And that, look, they had to, because I was thinking about it. We were watching yesterday. That's what we're about to talk about. The Pat McAfee show. They had Nick Caserio on, obviously the general manager of your Houston Texans. And they were broadcasting from their studios. What is that, Indianapolis?
They did that overnight, right? Man.
And so they got to Dublin quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Yeah.
I know that they themselves did not have to go set up, but at least getting there and getting yourself ready to be on air again, that's
they
a
must
quick
hit
turn.
That ESPN private jet.
Man, must be.
They're one of the few that do. That private jet doesn't go to everybody.
Oh, it's going to him.
It's going to him.
Pat McAfee is one of the two dudes draining Disney of their money when it comes to ESPN. It's him and Stephen A. Smith getting all that money. But they did see it fit to talk to Nick Caserio yesterday about these Houston Texans, a team of intrigue all the way across the league. So it's not just the excitement here is you know, kind of mirrored by I think the excitement around the nation. In fact, I was just looking on my Twitter timeline, and there was a podcast somewhere that was like, "Are the Texans a playoff lock?" This is a team that has a lot of fascination around there, and so. On the McAfee show, Nick Caserio was on, and they were basically early on really trying to get a feel for how this team has gotten to the place that it is. And they were kind of highlighting the fact that, you know, this team had previously been what could reasonably be viewed as a dumpster fire, and very, very quickly, they are kind of Super Bowl contenders. This was Caserio talking about that switch.
There's never a template for when you show up in a building, here's what's going to happen. So you try to apply your training, some of the things that you learned wherever you were. I had a tremendous experience. We've talked about this in New England, learned a lot of great things, was around a lot of good people, saw what good football looked like. So when you walk in a building, you just got to assess, kind of figure out, all right, where do you start? Get started somewhere, and just have repeated actions over the course of time. And it took work to get to a point, but, you know, with the support of ownership and, you know, multiple people in the building. And I'd say the hiring of D'Amico was, I mean, certainly a big part of that as well, because I think when we've talked about this, when you're around him, his mindset, his mentality, what the expectation is from the players, the respect that he garners as soon as he walks into the room. So in the end, it's about the players. Players win games. It's about the coaches putting the players in a position. Quite frankly, my job is to kind of just stay out of the way and just support the head coach and support the people that are in the building and just try to, you know, do my part, be a fiduciary, and just be supportive and just be a part of the team effort. So I think that's the mindset that we have here, and that's what we want our players to have. And anybody that comes in the building, that's what we want them to possess.
I want to be a fiduciary.
Yeah, I was like, ain't that a financial word of some sort?
Yes.
But I found that to be a very, I guess, streamlined way of looking at the way that the Texans have gotten to this place. And, I mean, it fits from what we can see, man. Like, they've empowered D'Amico Ryans to establish culture here. And they've made sure to have good talent around or underneath him to then execute that vision. And as of right now, that's basically been what this is.
No, it is. But you know what I was thinking about when I was listening to that? Like the Texans, by all accounts, are kind of an overnight success. But it's a lot like those comedians. There's a lot of comedians like this. And there's a lot of musicians like this that bust their ass for years and years.
Been
and
then touring, all, small rooms, all sorts
and
of things.
Dives and either singing or performing or whatever in little, you know, clubs, you know, corner club, and then all of a sudden they get this big break, they get this big, you know, thing happen in their life, and they're like, oh, look, they're an overnight success. Nick Caserio is that comedian or entertainer.
Wait, is like, he called Figgy? Is Lopez calling the Texans an industry plant? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what it sounds like.
That's crazy. Because they look like an overnight success.
Yeah.
But you've already heard me say this, and I've said it for the last couple of years. Nick Caserio was working on this, working those small clubs, so to speak, to use the metaphor, in 2021. You know, like he was gutting this roster. He was manipulating the he's being way too humble here.
Yeah.
Like he really is.
Yeah, yeah. We had this conversation, I want to say last week, about are the Texans lucky?
Yeah, no.
And I
no, they're not.
Look, Nick Caserio was working, man. I seen a tweet talking about the Deshaun Watson trade. And, that whole fleecing and all that stuff. And all of those picks that, remember, they only, I think they had a total of 6 picks.
Yeah.
And those six picks turned to 10 players.
Yeah.
So he was like trading up, trading back, and, you know, trading out of the draft and all this other. He was working, man.
So they were working the clubs.
Yeah.
they, Nick Casario was working the clubs.
100%.
There's no world in which he would realistically hire as an answer for this organization David Culley nor Lovey Smith. None. But that was part of the plan. That was part of the tearing down to build back up. So, yes, there's some luck involved, namely C.J. Stroud.
With any success, there's going to be some luck involved. I don't think anybody is successful without a modicum of luck involved.
Yeah, but this has been going on for more than 3 years.
It wasn't just a lucky team.
Yeah.
No. Just all this stuff fell in their hands.
And, no. Buddy, that'd be a whole bunch of luck to find yourself a lot of luck. In this place.
Yeah.
One of those places where it's definitely not luck is D'Amico Ryans, right? Getting a guy who's clearly capable of doing this. And Casario was talking about how pivotal D'Amico Ryans is, as a hire here.
Yeah, he's outstanding. I mean, instant credibility as soon as he walks in the room. And I would just say this. Players want to be coached. They want to be held accountable. They want to be held to a standard. And I think what they're looking for is consistency on a day-to-day basis. So coaching is teaching. So are you providing them the information? Are you giving them the resources that they need to be successful? Are you consistent with your words? Are you consistent with your message? Do you fix problems? Do you find solutions? And I would just say, like, D'Amico was that way as a player. There's a reason that he was a captain when he was a player. And just, he's so consistent day to day. And I would say he has a little bit of that old school mentality where, I mean, we're not running a soft program here. So you come here, you work. We're not for everybody. Everybody's not for us, and that's okay. And that's a part of the team building is you have to have a discipline with the types of players that you identify. And if you say you have a standard, you want to hold yourself to that standard to be consistent. And hopefully the players that we bring in the building reinforce our messaging.
And Buddy, they have, right? That when he was saying that, I was like, oh, buddy, that sounds like everything I've heard this week. And obviously yesterday in particular, right? At the joint practice, the media availability afterwards. I don't know. I imagine somebody was probably doing a story because it felt like everybody got a question about the Texans saying not everybody can play in Houston.
Yeah.
And there's various people that talked on. I guess we should probably hear from the quarterback of this team. This is Cut 9 from C.J. Stroud Fig. Where, I mean, look, multiple people talked about this standard, and what Nick Casario was talking about there, giving credit to D'Amico Ryans, is establishing a standard that players want to live by. And if you listen to what we're about to listen to from Stroud and Petrie, like, these guys clearly want this standard, live by this standard, and accept this standard.
We was out here today. It's hot. So that's one thing, like, adjusting to the weather. On top of that, man, just, like, how we practice. We don't practice, like at least I've only been on this team, but from my other guys been on other teams, we don't practice everybody else. We practice hard. And that's how I love it. That's how I did in college, and that's what I'm used to. And, you know, I think that's what gives us our edge. And, you know, not everybody wants to be that, you know. So for have guys buy into that has been pretty dope. And, you know, Coach D'Amico has been at the front of that. And, you know, it's up to me and the rest of the leaders to be right behind them and leading the way as well. So, you know, I think it's not meant for everybody, but the guys are here. They're meant to be here, you know.
Man, variations of that theme are everywhere.
There's that one. Jalen Petrie had a couple of things that he said about this. Here's one of those talking about the high standard of what they do.
Yeah, I think it's all about balance, and it's all about understanding that it's not personal. You know, we all have a job to do, and we all understand that it does get a little brutal at times, but at the end of the day, it's all about the betterment of the team. Like, is what you're doing helping the team, or is what you're doing, you know, making the team worse? So I think it's that simple, and it's no playing around with that. We don't do that here.
Like, these dudes have not only learned the standard, they've embraced the standard, and I think that's a credit to, obviously, D'Amico Ryans, but as you're talking about, Nick Casario as well. Like, these are the things that have helped them make that turnaround.
I think it's embracing. I think it's identifying more with the swarm culture and the D'Amico
swarm.
Yeah, that has been from literally day one, his introductory press conference. It was all about swarm. You heard it all last year. Now it's turned into not everybody can play here. The reality is, there's a lot of places in the NFL where it's really, really tough like this.
100%.
But they're kind of embracing, we're different. You know, even if it's not true, they're embracing, we're different. Not everybody can be here.
And different in a way that leads to greatness.
Yes,
right?
That's the mental perspective. That's what makes them kind of reflective of the culture and makes them more believers, if you know, just to be honest. Like, they believe they're better than everybody else, even though a lot of teams do this.
Sure.
You know?
But, I mean, I think that's part of the idea of, like, creating an us versus them mentality, creating a mentality that allows a team dynamic to form, and creating a mentality more than anything else that stresses excellence, right? We've talked about this. I mean, and Jalen Petrie is an interesting one. I know that Sean and Seth were talking about this earlier about, you know, how when even when Jimmy Ward came in, or was it Jimmy that when he came in and kind of talking to Jalen Petrie,
I guess, year over year,
the ways in which he kind of saw that development and that change in, you know, in identifying the ways to be great on in his own personal play, right? Like, you're seeing that there is that feeling, there's that level of introspection on greatness. And I think that that's something that's really incredible that Caserio was really highlighting in the course of this conversation, that was highlighted even further by the ways that guys talked about this system and the way that it works. One more thing I wanted to highlight real quick, just C.J. Stroud, right? C.J. Stroud, the quarterback of this team, he's going to be in the NFL. You're going to go only about as far as your quarterback will take you in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so Caserio was talking about the idea of year two coming up for C.J. Stroud and how it will indeed get a little more difficult for him.
It's going to get harder. Like, anybody that is in the league year one and has some success, what you have to realize is what happened that previous year in the end doesn't have any bearing on that current year. But I would say, I'd say where he's probably improved the most is his just leadership and ownership of the offense, of the team. He wants to be great. And going back to holding the people accountable, establishing a standard, I mean, it starts with the quarterback. And then I think the big thing as well is just that position. I mean, you touch the ball in 99.9% of the plays. I mean, other than if you get in, you know, the Wildcat or something like that. But you have to be a good fiduciary to the team, take care of the football, make smart decisions, and sometimes do simple great. And I think sometimes it's hard for just quarterbacks in general to understand that concept. But mitigating risk is a part of your job, but also understanding there's a balance. You know, want to take some shots, you want to move the ball down the field, but you want to make the smart play. But, you know, CJ's a great kid. He works really hard. He cares about winning. He cares about football. And I think his relationships with his teammates, not only on the offensive side of the ball, but the defensive side of the ball as well, his continue to grow. So it's going to take all of us. The quarterback is certainly an important position on a team, but he's just one part of the group here, and everybody just has to go out there and focus on the things that they do well, and then, you know, we'll see where we are at the end of the game each week.
Did he have a word of the day calendar?
I mean, I think that he might have just met with his financial accountant or financial manager or something like that. Because that word he definitely loves.
Dropping that fiduciary like willy-nilly. He is.
I'm surprised he didn't say Damore.
Yeah.
But, I mean, 100%, you know, of what he's saying is it's not, it's mostly obvious.
Sure.
But it's hard to get to know that you have a guy that can actually do that, and it's not just lip service. And everything we've seen is C.J. Stroud is that guy.
Sure.
He is a fiduciary.
Right. And a good caretaker of what you're doing here. And so, yeah, man, all of these things, it was interesting to hear that, but because, like, it's clear that this is not just talk for them. This is the way that they operate. Yeah. And, I mean, look, we got people on the text line. They're like, all right, we need to settle down with all this big talk or whatever. But ultimately, this big talk isn't necessarily about results. It's about process. It's about, like, the results are going to have to show themselves regardless, 100%. Yeah. But all of this is more about the process of how they get to. And it seems like they're so process-oriented about do the details right, be the way that you're supposed to be, handle business how you're supposed to handle, and you should be able to then execute and show the results. And that's what the season's going to be about.
I think it's about legitimate confidence. It's one thing to say, oh, we're a confident team, but all these things that you're hearing, you know, the C.J. Stroud stuff, and not everybody can play here, swarm, you know, the leadership, that's just building a confidence within the four walls that is not just lip service. You know, they legitimately believe this. We're not like everyone else. That's how you get there.
Word to Kendrick Lamar. There you go.
Yeah. Not like everyone else.
Nick Caserio.
Not like us.
On
not
a
like
Pat us. McAfee show. It was kind of interesting. And it was good to see him on there. He seemed to be very comfortable, happy to be with those guys.
He likes them.
Threw a little jokes back and forth with them. Talked about golfing with what was it, Butler, Darius Butler as well. So that was fun. But coming up next here in the loop, we'll get into what's popping, including a way in which college football, there's a particular thing in college football that might restore the feeling again. We'll talk about that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
What's poppin'? In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Datatula. Thanks for hanging out with us. Always get involved with the program. Text in 713-572-4610. Let's start out highlighting again some news that happened yesterday that we had just kind of roundly wiped away as not likely for the Astros. And that's Alex Bregman. We learned that
he ain't gonna never play first base.
And then they're putting a first base glove in his hand. He was taking ground balls, and supposedly he's supposed to play first base today. We'll be on the lookout for that lineup card when it comes out. But yeah, this is gonna be something to kind of alleviate some of the wear and tear on that throwing elbow, the ones that the Gremlins got, and opportunity to keep him in the lineup, but not in the DH role, so that you could still have a space for Yordan Alvarez to not have to play the field, and maybe like Yainer Diaz to have an off day from catching, things like that.
Yeah. I think, he said it could be something that lingers all year long. I mean, Bregman said that.
Yes, he did.
So if that is true, then, you know, if this is true, then this must be true. If that is true, then he must be the first baseman by and large the rest of the way. If it is bothering him that much that he thinks it's already going to be kind of a season-long thing, you got to swing that bat, man. I mean, that's what's most important right now. You can figure it out at third base, and it'll give you those other options you just talked about with, you know, Yordan and others at DH.
Yeah, and especially when you talk about the idea, this is the Astros being forthcoming with a injury thing to some degree.
Wait, what?
Which means one of two things: they're turning a leaf, or it could be even more
a bigger lie, a better lie.
It could be something bigger that we're dealing with here. But yeah, a little bit of first base, or maybe a lot of first base.
Astros being forthcoming with an injury.
I mean, relatively.
Because
at first
wrong.
It did start with sleeping wrong.
Yeah, you're.
We do need to check with Ron and see if he did figure out a way to sleep in such a way where it messes up his elbow like that.
Yeah.
But there you go. First baseman's glove is going to be handed to Alex Bregman maybe as early as this evening in Baltimore. Some other things. I did tease this. I teased this in the as we were coming into the segment. There's a college football thing that's going to restore the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Texas A&M. Yeah, and I know that you, for a long time, I'm sure, existed in this place where you were looking forward to Thanksgiving.
Every Thanksgiving.
Those two teams get an opportunity to play again. And then, of course, Texas A&M Jets for the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And both teams, I'm not gonna pick sides in this sense, but both teams decided to be a little petty.
Yeah.
Couldn't find a way to keep that game going with a non-con game or something like that. And so for a while, that Texas rivalry did not exist in the same way. Now Texas joins A&M in the SEC. And so there's an opportunity for this rivalry to come back. And also come back in a similar way. And so Texas and Texas A&M obviously renewing that rivalry this fall, but both ADs expressed interest in playing the game on Black Friday to get back to that. Obviously not exactly Thursday, not that Thanksgiving, but that's because the NFL is taking everybody's corners, right? They're talking about Christmas and Thanksgiving. They have three whole slates. So,
poor NBA.
Yeah, poor NBA for sure. But Black Friday, that Friday after Thanksgiving, is a space where Texas A&M could play. Are you interested? Are you excited for this this return of that rivalry feel, especially on Thanksgiving?
Beyond excited. I'm actually looking at one of my ticket apps here, because last time I checked for A&M and Texas tickets, upper deck in the corners was about $1,500 a ticket.
Dog it, man.
$1,500 a ticket.
Mm.
So I say that to say they could play anytime, anywhere. All they have to do is kick off and the rivalry is back.
Sure.
But I think what this is doing, like, this is going to be one of the most watched football games of any league this year. It's going to have NFL numbers and then some. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. I'm looking at right now $780 for upper deck in the corner per ticket. And this has been talked about for, what was it, 2011 was their last game, something like that?
Man, has it been that long already?
Yeah, I think it was 2011, so 13 years. No, this is Black Friday is going to make it even more so, but it's already going to be up there with the NFL playoffs.
Where are they playing at?
College Station, the first one.
You going?
November 30th,
well,
this is Saturday.
You got $780?
Hey, come on, man. You the OG. You got that in your pocket right now.
I don't know about that. I'm going to hit that Notre Dame game, and then we'll see from
there. Yeah, you figure out the rest after that. But yeah, opportunity to not just have it on a Saturday, but move it in closer to that historical space, Black Friday as opposed
to Thanksgiving. You want some tickets on the 40-yard line on the lower deck?
Yeah, as long as you're paying for it.
$3,575 a ticket.
Man. Big yikes. All right. That will be a blast, though.
I will definitely be watching that.
Yeah.
at home
with those three TVs.
On a TV. Yeah. That's right. Some other things that are popping. C.J. Stroud. This is a little one, but C.J. Mm-hmm. Stroud received the Pro Football Writers Association Good Guy Award yesterday after practice. So just another little thing to appreciate.
Yeah.
A dude who is. I don't know. Could you get any luckier with a quarterback when you talk about
everything.
Breakdown,
yeah.
play-wise, capabilities,
everything.
And then just as a person?
Yeah. Absolutely everything. Top-notch. He's what people thought Deshaun Watson was.
You're not wrong. I vividly remember like all the stories. And not to say that, obviously, like he did these things and those things are like still credits to him in some ways. But like taking care of the workers at NRG and those types of things because, you know, he had that. Those are the types of things that absolutely we had with Deshaun Watson at that time.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud has all that same vibe as well.
Yeah, we're just never going to call C.J. Stroud a fraud.
I sure hope not.
Yeah.
Like that would be real frustrating to have to do that again.
Oh, man, that would suck.
That would suck.
Right. Why did you put that in my brain now?
Yeah.
Like, it was all positivity. He's a good guy.
Now we got to sit here and wait for
it. No, it was positive. I said, we're never going to call him a fraud.
Hey, now we got to wait till he get his contract.
Yeah,
and then see how he acts.
It's that Lamborghini starts going on, talking about playing for the Jets.
Some other things that are popping. I found this to be super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
NWSL, the National Women's Soccer League, they just came up with a new collective bargaining agreement with their players mm-hmm. association. And it's notable because they have a few big changes that are really like pro-labor
mm-hmm.
in a way that is like going to, has the at least the chance to really push sports labor negotiations forward in American sports. And those things are, they're eliminating the draft
mm-hmm.
and they're banning trades without player consent. So the players have to consent to trades that happen. But I think that that's big in its own right. But I think the really huge one is eliminating the draft.
Eliminating the draft is speaking my language, man. I wish the NBA would do it. I think you should start in the NBA. You may be able to do it elsewhere.
I think you could do it in football as well.
Yeah, you may be able to elsewhere as well. But if you eliminate the draft in the NBA, everyone has a chance to be happy. Players, obviously fans, but you got to have some sort of a hard cap or some sort of, if not hard cap, and you and I were talking about this before the show, some sort of restrictions.
Rookie money pool,
yeah,
I think,
some
is
sort
one
of
the
restrictions
things you could do.
So you don't want everybody playing for LA and New York, you know?
Sure.
Or Miami or whatever, you know, some
right,
of those
right.
destination points. Whereas if you have, let's just use the hard cap as an example and no draft. Well, then be wise with your money. It rewards smart general managers. It rewards smart organizations financially. And it keeps every player from going to the same place because Milwaukee or Orlando would have more money to spend in some years than the Lakers or whomever. So.
Sure.
And you ain't got to worry about tanking.
And you don't have to worry about tanking.
Right, because you no longer is your play tied to, you know, player acquisition. Yeah, man, I feel like the draft has served to, you know, insulate owners from, you know, themselves.
Yeah.
As has like salary caps and those mm-hmm. types of things. Let's encourage and reward what should be rewarded, which is competence, right? And those types of things. Mm-hmm. And I understand that like the league operates almost as a cartel where everybody's trying to come up in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. But I like that as an opportunity to now then give a little bit of agency to players. Plus, sometimes we infantilize players as if they're only going to go and take the most money or they're only going to go to the places that we typically
think
about.
No, and that's not true.
And that will happen like a decent amount. I'm not trying to say that mm-hmm. doesn't exist, right? There's things that are appealing to like playing on the coast or playing
of course,
in various
or near
places.
Your home.
Right.
Yeah.
But one thing that we will see is like, hey man, players want to play as well. They have agents as well and people that care about them that help them make decisions mm-hmm. on more than one factor. And so there will be players that look up and go, hey, that is a place that I can go play. And we see this in recruiting in college,
yes.
right? I can go play there, and yes, they'll have some money for me, but I can get maybe a little less money and opportunity to play more over here because they're signing that guy
yeah.
who's going to take my spot, right? Like, I think that there's more considerations that I think would absolutely
what's best
happen.
For me long-term as a player and financially. I'm totally with you.
And 832 makes this point that I think a lot of people speak to, especially the leagues themselves, is that eliminating the draft would be horrible
no,
for small markets.
No, I just explained why it wouldn't.
And I don't think that it inherently has to. You can put some things in place that help buttress it.
I think eliminating the draft helps small markets. Let's just use $100 million as an example, even though it's maybe $500 million on some of these teams, their budget. Let's say the hard cap is $100 million. Well, if you're the Lakers or you're the Knicks and you've got $70 million spent, well, then you got $30 million to spend on the rookie free agents, so you choose wisely. Conversely, let's say you're San Antonio, and you only have, again, this is not apples to apples, I'm using it as an example, and you only have $30 million in salary, and then Victor Wembanyama hits becomes a free agent out of
college. Throw the bag at him.
We'll say, you know what? We'll give him the whole 70. You know, so that helps small markets. If you're smart with your money, it kind of balances. Not everyone is going to be in the big markets. They're going to have to be in the small markets because that's a hard cap. Every team has the same hard cap. No, it helps that.
And in theory, you might give more players opportunity to succeed because you will have, in theory, fewer players that end up in a place that's not conducive to a conducive environment for their success. But anyways, that was an interesting thought that came up due to the NWSL, Women's Soccer League, being pretty progressive on the way that they handle their player negotiation or their, you know, labor negotiation. Yeah. They're eliminating the draft and banning trades without player consent. So that was cool to see. That's some of what's popping. We didn't even get to the idea of foreign money in NIL.
Oh, you're going
to
hear it during Confessions.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Excellent. You can look forward to that here in Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we got the final preseason game coming up next, but we are done with training camp when it comes to practices. Where did the Texans make the biggest improvement during this camp and the preseason? We'll talk about that next.
New co-host, same old Lopez.
Has Lopez forced any OG sauce on you?
He sure has.
First of all, it's not forcing.
He sure has. I mean, I understand what he just said, and the answer is still, he sure has. I have not gotten it yet, though.
It's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Adetula, 10 to 2 every weekday on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Your Odyssey Sports Minute is brought to you by Zadig Jewelers.
I'm Amy Lawrence with an Odyssey Sports Minute. The NFL season is on the horizon and three rookie quarterbacks will be on the field in week one. That means the average age of NFL QBs will continue to drop. In 2023, not even 28 years old. And the top quarterbacks in the league are still in their 20s. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, CJ Stroud. How low can you go? I'm Amy Lawrence.
I'm Chris Walls and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Hey, H-Town, it's head coach Bert Brocker with Steel South Loop Hyundai. And we have great deals because we're selling them wheels. That's right, folks. 0% interest on new 24 Elantras or $199 a month. And don't forget, we got the new Santa Fe, 2.99% interest, or you can get 1.99% for 60 months on Hyundai Santa Cruzes. With one of the strongest finance teams in the country, regardless of your credit, we can help everyone. Visit us 24/7, still SouthLoopHyundai.com.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
If you own a timeshare, don't miss this public service announcement from Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group.
If you receive an unsolicited phone call or mail piece to discuss selling, renting, or especially canceling your timeshare, don't fall for it. If you really want out of your timeshare, hang the phone up immediately or throw that mail piece in the trash and contact your timeshare resort or Wesley Financial Group for assistance with your timeshare. As the only Inc. 500 timeshare cancellation company, our knowledge, experience, and results has made Wesley a trusted resource for over 40,000 families we've helped get out of their timeshare. Give us a call and I'll send you our timeshare exit information kit free with the straight facts about your timeshare and all of your options for cancellation.
Call for your free info kit. 800-513-4444. 800-513-4444. 800-513-4444.
Electricians, service techs, helpers. Let me get your attention one time, man. Generator Supercenter, the nation's number one Generac generator dealer. They are hiring. Full-time benefit packages include 401k match, medical, dental, vision, life, and paid vacation training. It's available with unlimited opportunities for growth at a rapidly expanding company. Not just a company that's leading the industry in backup power solutions. Find out more at GeneratorSupercenter.com. That's GeneratorSupercenter.com.
This is Lisa Zadoff from Zadoff Jewelers. We believe that the jewelry you own should be the jewelry you love. Did you know that we buy jewelry, diamonds, and watches that you no longer wear? Just bring.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.